Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. I think everybody's done a farewell show except us, right?
Yeah, well, I think the calendar just dictates, the schedule dictates that, you know, we're one of the last shows here, and we are one of the few who haven't chimed in on their memories of the Trib Tower.
Well, that's about to change for a little bit, right? We've got in the studio, we have Tom Zarosky, founding principal of Eastlake Studio. And tell us, Eastlake Studio was here. You're not here anymore.
Yeah, we spent 30 years here. Okay. Signed our lease on the day the stock market crashed in 1987.
Yeah.
And said we would never leave until they kicked us out. And they kicked us
out. That's what happened. So what does Eastlake Studio do?
And then, the focus of our practice is workplace interiors. So we do lots of office space downtown. In fact, we help move the Tribune out of the building.
And what was that like?
It was a lot of fun, actually. You know, it's a very interesting business. There's a lot of unique components that needed to be accommodated. Lots of interesting personalities that we got to deal with.
Sure. Yeah, I bet. So what do you have to do? What's it like to move? Tell them what it was like to move, pick them up, move them out, and then to get them in a new place.
Well, they just moved in on Monday, right?
Yeah, right.
So there's all sorts of things, you know, between artifacts and, you know, just functional tools that different people use. You know, there's a certain amount of generic quality to office space that you can deal with, but there's all, you know, there's artists and there's photographers and there's journalists that all have different needs. And so, you know, we definitely helped all those people kind of have the right tools to do their job.
And where's the new space at?
Prudential Plaza, in one Prudential Plaza. So actually the bottom four floors and the top two floors.
What was your role with the Tribune at the beginning? I mean, you were here, you came in here in 87.
Yeah, there were three of us, architects, three guys that met on a porch one night and said, hey, let's open up our practice. We started looking for space in buildings with tower space. So we looked at old buildings, looked at Carbon and Carbide and some others. And the top floor of Tribune Tower was available. So we were pretty excited to jump at that opportunity.
And how high up is that? How many floors is that?
That was the 32nd floor that we moved into initially. And it was actually one floor above where the Tribune cartoonists were located.
Right.
And that was pretty cool because I got to meet Jeff McNally and Dick Locher and guys like that. I met Jeff McNally in his stocking feet. But they're all, you know, fun guys. You can imagine cartoonists. That's why they wanted to be up there far away from all the corporate folks.
Yeah. They're
pretty cool guys.
Yeah. So, so what was your relationship with the Tribune over the years?
So, you know, first we started out as a tenant, and then there were some opportunities to do some work. We did some work for Tribune Media Services and a few other business units. Not a ton, but and then probably about 10 years ago, there was a new property manager who needed some help with drawings and stuff like that, and we got him out of a mess, and he liked us a lot and plugged us into a lot of opportunities.
Who have some of your other clients been?
Well, actually, here in the tower, we did Pandora's office, the music folks, mm-hmm. not the jewelry folks.
Yeah.
But they were an awesome client.
You say an awesome client, what does that mean?
You know, they really cared about letting us show them what their space could be. I mean, they've got a great brand, and so we help them leverage their brand into their office space and help them use that to both recruit and retain talent and make people aware of, you know, why it was a great place to work.
And Mike's Hard Lemonade?
Yeah. Mike's was another fun client. That was a pretty challenging interview with those guys. They had already picked out their space not too far from Union Station, but it was a cool space with two 80-foot-long skylights, and we worked real closely with them to turn that into pretty much a big party space, and it ended up being a place where we were able to celebrate our 25th anniversary. They're really, really friendly folks, and we got along with them great.
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah, and there was plenty of Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Drink a lot of that, Mia? So that was you're leading up to my next question. Is like, give the listeners an idea. What's the difference between working with Mike's Hard Lemonade and working with the Tribune?
Well, you know, everybody, it's, you know, what we talk about is that we build custom suits for people. So, you know, the suit that's right for Mike's is not the right suit for the Tribune. And, you know, so we just try to get to know the businesses and make sure that the space feels like them. It captures their culture.
And how do you get to know them? I mean, do you hang around?
Well,
do you interview people?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll interview, you know, first you start at the top and try to understand where they're trying to go with their projects. But we also,
those guys aren't going to tell you anything at the top.
Well, you know, but they're going to tell you if they have money to spend, or if they just want to get in there as fast as possible. And then you drill down and get the real information from the people that do all the work, for sure.
So how long have you been doing workplace interiors then overall, since the beginning?
Yeah, 30 years with Eastlake, and then prior to that, a couple years at a place called Evomatix Associates.
So where I'm going with that is how have workplace interiors changed over the years?
Oh, they're amazingly different. Oh. You know, actually, I think the most exciting thing is that people, just business owners, really have a better appreciation for design, how design can impact their business. And they kind of realize that the quality of space is important to the people that they hire, you know, probably more so than it was 25 years ago. Whereas a corner office was, you know, everything that somebody wanted. Now, you know, people just want a comfortable place and some options and choices and where they can work. So,
what about things like views? I've heard, and just stuff I've read on social media, the Prudential has really, really nice views.
Absolutely.
How important are views and nature?
Well, natural light is key to a lot of people. You know, just getting you comfortable, getting you engaged. I mean, so that you know what's going on outside. It just helps you relax. It helps you just kind of be yourself, I think.
And what about dealing with other people and interpersonal relationships in the office? And
well, you know,
some people say cubicles are going away.
One of the things that we talk about, you know, the open office is definitely a trend that's, you know, a huge thing that what the Tribune did, for sure. The way that those things work is only if you give them options for other places to work. So small touchdown spaces, phone booths. Maybe big meeting rooms, just, you know, cafes, things like that, outdoor terraces.
Yeah.
You know, people just like options for where they work.
What stumped you over the years? Give it off the top of your head, if there's an example, something you got stuck on.
Well, you know, sometimes there's, you know, clients just don't have a vision for doing anything. And, you know, it takes a great client to do great work. You can't do good stuff if somebody just wants paint and carpet.
Yeah, yeah. What are your memories of this building? There's been so much, again, I've read online and in the newspapers, especially all the writers talking about their memories here and us here at the radio show. And what are your memories yourself of Eastlake Studio?
So, you know, we've grown quite a bit since we've been here. But, I mean, right from the beginning, we made sure that we had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some great Halloween parties in the tower. The last one that we had last October was we called it Deco Gothic or something like that. Gothic to Deco. And it was a ton of fun because this building's Gothic, neo-Gothic, and the building that we moved to is Art Deco. And so we had all sorts of really fun costumes, and there's a couple that showed up as flying buttresses, which is pretty unique. You had to see it, I guess. Yeah, it's kind of hard to do on radio.
Well, you hit on something we talk about on this show. We're baseball fans. I think we're baseball fans. We talked, and I've had Bill Veeck's son on the show, Mike Veeck, a lot, and he wrote a book called Fun is Good, and he goes and speaks about fun in the workplace. And you know, he's not talking about architecture. He's just talking about spirit. And how do you convey fun in architecture and in designing? Fun is really, really important. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people are unhappy these days.
Well, you know, when we founded our business, we said we wanted to do great work. We wanted to be recognized for having a significant practice. We wanted to make money. And we wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
All four of those things are important. You know, fun is good, but if you aren't doing good stuff, it kind of falls by the wayside, and you probably aren't doing it for very long. But, you know, there's ways to make the workday interesting and fun. I mean, we created a space last year that someone moved into that has a secret room. And, you know, it's literally a room behind a bookshelf. And, you know, that kind of stuff where you could be working at that place for a month or two, and then all of a sudden someone says, hey, you want to see something? Boom. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things that kind of makes you smile and makes you kind of just a little bit more engaged with your workplace.
Can it go too far? I mean, I was reading some stuff this afternoon, and like some music in the workplace. I mean, just the piped in music and stuff. How much, when do you draw the line at having fun? Open bar, you know?
Well, you know, actually, in our studio, most young people coming out of school want to put on their headphones. Mm-hmm. So we've got a rule that if you want to do that, you've basically one headphone in and one out, you know, one open, so that you can hear what's going around you. And you know, just one of those things that, you know, it's good to kind of have something to kind of pull your head away from the stuff that's maybe making you uptight. But you always need to be engaged with your team.
In background in this, how do buildings, and we can use this as an example, how this is going to become retail, how do buildings change in the relationship and the way that people react to them and the way neighborhoods change and stuff? Well, people are saying, well, this is going to become retail. Where we're sitting right now, it's probably going to be a store, do you think?
Well, it might have been retail before it was.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Before it was this, uh-huh. Right? And I think, you know, that's part of the challenge of cities, right, is that it's kind of that balance between sensitivity to historic preservation and the ability to look to the future and make things relevant. And I think, you know, while we were sad to leave this building, and I'm sure a lot of the people that worked for the Tribune were sad to leave the building, I'm kind of happy that it's still relevant and that there's new life. I mean, there's new pipes being installed, and there won't be brown water coming out of the faucet like I had for 30 years in my space. Uh-huh. I mean, stuff like that, right?
Do you miss stuff? Will you miss stuff about the neighborhood? You're not that far away.
It's amazing how different the city is just on the other side of the river.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, just finding a parking place.
Yeah,
it's frightening over there. Seriously, there's some scary. You can find yourself going down to lower Wacker, and it's not a place.
Yeah, I still don't know where we're going to park. Where I'm going to park next week, but we're going to figure that out. We're going to come back. I want to talk about preservation and how that relates to what you do. Okay,
sounds good.
Okay, don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
I was born like this. I had no choice. I was born with the gift of a golden voice, and 27 angels from the great beyond. They tied me to this table right here in the Tower of Song. So you can stick your little...
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we're with Tom Zarowski, founding principal of Eastlake Studio, formerly right here at Tribune Tower. Was it the very top?
It was.
The very top.
Yeah, so when we signed our lease, it was the very top. But it's got low ceilings and small windows, and so when the cartoonists moved out, we grabbed their space because it was much cooler.
Boy, I wish I never made it up. Never made it up that high here. So Jane Jacobs, we were talking a little bit about preservation, and one quote I wanted to spin off you was she said, old ideas can sometimes use new buildings. New ideas must use old buildings.
Well, you know, Jane Jacobs is an amazing planner and writer. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot of people leading like she did. Uh-huh. But... I think it kind of gets back to what I was talking about before is, you know, there's that whole challenge of being sensitive to the texture of cities that we have here, especially like right here, this urban canyon at Michigan Avenue and the river.
Yeah.
Do people in Chicago realize that there's nothing like this in the world?
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably one of the top 10 urban spaces in the world. There's just nothing like it. And I think Chicago's been really good about keeping that texture in place. When London House kind of filled in that little gap between Lincoln Tower and the London Guarantee Building, it just, it was, it made me smile because it kind of finished the song that's right here at this intersection.
Yeah. So you tell the listeners about, you know, with all the skyscrapers and big buildings that have been built over the years, talk about the Prudential Building. We were talking during the break there. I mean, I was young enough, old enough now to remember my parents taking me to the Prudential Building, what was like the tallest building in Chicago. It was really, really was something, you know. And talk about the Art Deco flavor, the history of the building, and how you put the Tribune in, how you made the Tribune work with that.
So the Tribune, the Tribune moving to Prudential was a pretty big deal, right? Uh-huh. Because there's this architectural history that they were attached to here in the tower. But Prudential was the first post-Depression tower built in the city.
I have dedicated December 9th, 1955.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, I grew up on the near south side, and my brother and I would get on the L, come downtown, and go up to the top of the Prudential Building and check out the views. And then we would ride the elevators and try to hit our heads on the ceiling because, you know, because we could.
Yeah.
And that was a time, you know, I mean, would people let their 9 and 7 year old kids come downtown by themselves anymore? Yeah. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And we had such a great time. It was such a different world.
I did a story years ago for the Sun Times on that. I haven't been back probably since I did this story, but like the Stouffer's, the restaurant, Top of the Rock. Is that what's with that space?
So that's where the executive floor is located.
Okay.
Is that top floor, and it's spectacular. The views are just incredible. I was just up there this morning, and we're just finishing up that part of it. The Tribune hasn't moved into that space just yet, but it's going to be spectacular space.
What are some of the other flavors, little touches you did? I think you sent me a picture of the there's a meeting room that's named for Pulitzer winners. Or talk about some of the little details.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah. So the Tribune's new space, the lower four floors. There's basically an entrance off of Stetson into a reception area and a big conference center. And that's where there's a couple of photo studios down there. And in addition to that, there's a cafe that's kind of just half a flight up. And that's really intended to be kind of the hub, you know, kind of the town hall of the new space. And there's a giant staircase that connects the fourth floor all the way down to the first floor. And it's really got a strong personality. It's one of those auditorium stairs where you can sit on the stair, that there's projection capabilities, and they can make all sorts of presentations there. So it's really intended to kind of bring the whole company together. I think historically we've heard that a lot of the Tribune employees kind of, you know, huddled in their own little corners of the space and really didn't know who they worked with. And we see this as an opportunity for them to kind of get engaged with everybody and maybe get, you know, just re-energized about the future of the Tribune.
What about, this wasn't on my list of questions, but what about accessibility to the public? I've been in journalism long enough where I remember public service offices where people would come in and buy stuff and buy a newspaper. And I remember when Obama was elected president, there were huge lines out the Sun-Times. You know, the accessibility, I'm going to miss this of the Allstate, you know, people being able to look in the... So with the Tribune, how accessible will it be to the general public? People want to drop off something or...
Well, you know, there's going to be a public entrance off of Stetson.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how much further than the reception desk the public's going to be able to get.
Yeah.
So because the rest of it's just wide open, so it's kind of hard to let the public get too much further than that. But and that's kind of sad because they have so much great artwork that they've integrated into the space, because you know you've got cartoons, photography, all sorts of stuff. We actually even took the quotes that are here in the lobby, and we kind of twisted those in a little bit more contemporary direction into more like a steel letters on top of a steel.
I mean, we've
base.
Seen that a lot in the last. Well, you saw it too when you were here. You left in November, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but people just coming in and taking pictures of the lobby and stuff here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways that people can, and you know, kind of remember Tribune Tower. In fact, there's one guy that I bumped into this morning who said, you know, I can walk across the river and go inside Tribune Tower. It's like, it's not that sad. It's still here. We can all be.
And we only don't have much time. But this is a tell us about the historical. They can't change the lobby and stuff, right?
Yeah. So the exterior facade and the lobby are protected by the city ordinance.
Okay.
Yeah. They've changed a lot of the interiors. In fact, there was a photograph that one of the Trib photographers snuck up. And took from our space. They've removed all the plaster from the interior, so all the trim is gone. All the, you know, just it's kind of scary to a certain degree. But you know, again, it's back to giving an old building new life.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming down. You have to come back on the show when we're in the new space.
That sounds great.
We'll reassess everything.
And cool. Check out.
So thanks. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. Okay. Thank you. And we'll be back with more Nocturnal Journal after David Jennings and the news.